But you just don't jump to the first thing that comes to your mind. Look at this. Look at it. Is this really what you're ready to give your life for? Ready to give your life to this goal. Because if you make a goal, you're giving your life. You're using life every day. You're using life every day. Are you using it wisely? Are you spending your life wisely? Or are you throwing it away? Goal setting gives you a way of spending your life in control. So you make these goals. You know, you may have a goal to get married, a goal to have a particular kind of house, a particular kind of car, a particular kind of job or career. You make these kind of goals in your life, you see. Are they compatible with your ultimate reality? If somebody wants to be one with God and everything, then you go down and become a bartender, it's incompatible with what their ultimate reality is. They become a stripper in a strip joint, that isn't compatible with God consciousness. That's negative perversion and using the body for something to stimulate instead of which is natural use. Stating the natural use and perversion. And so, make sure your goals are compatible with your ultimate reality. Now, you take a piece of paper, and on the top of one column, you write, the things I like to do. And then you put in that column everything you like to do. The first column, you put, the things I like to do. The things I like to do. And you put the list. And you have to use a couple sheets of paper, just keep using it. So you get everything you like to do down, concrete. Then you take the second column, the things I do best. Because why would you want to do things you don't do best? Why would you like to do something you don't like to do? See? This starts giving to the subconscious mind, it starts giving to the willpower a clear picture of how to give you direction in consciousness, the way you're going. So what do I like to do best? See, what do I like to do? What do I do best? And the third column, where I can do this. What job, activity, place, where I can do this. You see? So the first one is what I like to do. Second one is what I do best. The third one is where I can do this. Now, don't be limited by anything. Education, past experience, anything. Don't be limited. Whatever it is, put it down. Even if you think it's larger than you could ever do, doesn't matter, put it down. It's important to get it down on paper. Now, you take this list that you've made up with these three columns in, and you look at it and you say, okay, is everything in this column compatible one with the other? And if there's any contrary energies in there, you have to decide which one you want to keep. You see? You can't say, I want to get married, and then a little further down, I like to fool around. You see, they don't go together. You see? They don't go together. They're too good. They'll take you two different directions. I like to be married, but I like to be single. That's contrary. You see? Those energies will pull you apart. So you have to look on the list. Is it all compatible? Those things that aren't compatible, you have to eliminate them. And you erase them. You put a line through them so that the subconscious mind puts a line through them. You see? So your mind puts a line through them. And you can even, some people use this technique. They close their eyes and they see a blackboard and they see themselves writing it up on the blackboard and then erasing it. You see, to wipe it out of their mind. You want to get all these things that are detrimental to your progress, to your success, to your goals, to your desires, to your will, out of your aura, away from you, not binding you any longer. And you want the things that will give you wealth, health, and happiness, and the abundance of all good things, oneness with God, first in your consciousness. The other things cancel out. So that's what this list does. Now, you put it away after you've done that. That's the first day. The second day, you take it out and you look at it. If you thought of anything to add to any of those, you add them, and if there's anything that's irrelevant or contrary there, eliminate it again. Now, put it in order. What's the thing that you like best? thing I do best, the thing I like best. What's the number one in each one of those columns where I can do that? Find out what number one. And just number from 1 to 10 and eliminate all the rest. Don't cross them out. Just don't put them down. They're already in the subconscious mind. And you start concentrating on the ones. Now you have taken and caused a dynamic energy. You've used your powers of observation, concentration, and attention in unison one with the other. And you now have a pattern for your subconscious mind and for your willpower to follow. You have made yourself a pattern. And you're doing the things you like to do. I put down things like I like to sing, and I like to talk to people, and I like to do all these things, and I like to teach, and I'd like to help, you know, the Christ. I'd like to help God. I'd like to help the masters. And I put these kind of things down, and I found out now this is what I'm doing. The things I like to do. Because I put them down, you see. I put them down. I made them concrete. I crystallized my thought. Now, don't share these with your friends and neighbors. Do not share these goals with your friends and neighbors. You have lost so many desires. You have lost so many dreams, so many goals, because you shared it with a non-believer, someone that did not support you. You took it out of the law of one. You took it out of the law of one and you put it into time, space, and circumstance. You took it out of the law of one, your oneness with God. Only God knows what your goal is. You took it out of the law of one by sharing it. Now, if you share it with somebody and they don't agree, now you have a choice. Am I going to keep this friend, or am I going to discard this friend and keep this knowledge, keep this goal? Because now you put yourself in a choice, you see. And even if you say, well, okay, you know, I don't quite agree with that, then you have a disagreement with your friend. The ones you share it with is the ones that can help you fulfill it. That's who you share it with, the ones that can help you fulfill it. The ones that are working in that area, the ones that are positive to it, the ones that support that. That's where you go share it. You don't support it, you don't get support, you don't take and bring it to non-believers. Those people will not support you. So don't take it out of the law of one. You've lost so many things by taking it out of the law of one, sharing with somebody that put their thoughts against it. Oh no, I wouldn't want that. That's the dumbest thing I ever heard. I remember one time saying, up in Tahoe, man, I'm going to open up this sack. Fresh food, health food restaurant. And I'm going to have a complete vegetarian diet, and I'm going to make all these things that people make out of, you know, other things, the vegetarian way. Oh man, that'll never go. Oh, that's a rotten idea. Who wants to eat just vegetables? Boy, I got so many things. I thought, wow, maybe it is a bad idea. Wow, man, that's probably, I shouldn't do that. Instead, I'll open up this other thing. I'll open up this chuck wagon. That's what I did. I opened up the chuck wagon. Wow, man. I didn't have the success. And then here's some fellow opening up one. They're blocking the doors! I know it'd work, but I had a choice, my friends, or doing it and separating myself from the friends. See, don't share it. Don't put yourself in a position where you have to make a choice and put somebody outside of your energies. Keep everybody in your heart. Accept everybody. It's okay what everybody's doing. You want to be okay with what you're doing? It's okay what you're doing. It's wonderful. You don't agree with negatives. You don't avoid them. You wouldn't do them. You don't do those things. And if there's an opportunity to help the individual, you help them, but don't volunteer information. Don't volunteer information. If somebody asks you a question, answer them. But don't volunteer a bunch of information. Don't spill your guts. You know, like they say, gut level. I made a gut decision. Down here, you see. That's where they got it. Don't get involved in that kind of energy, because that isn't where your goals will be satisfied. That 98% of your prayers are answered through people. 98% of your prayers are answered through people. God answers your prayers through people. When you pray for a car, you don't go out in the driveway and boom, there's a car. Wow, thank you. Let me try a house. You're like Mickey Mouse, when he gets the bucket of water and the magician goes away and he starts playing with the hat and the wand. You ever see that one? Mickey Mouse and magician. Okay, that's what happens to some people. They get a hold of a power and they don't know how to operate, and next thing it's overwhelming them. You see. You'll find, as you do this and purify your words and set your goals in this, that your words will have power when you say something. They will have power. You'll be sure. You'll talk as a matter of fact. As a matter of fact, you're talking that way. And your words will have power. That's only the first step to power. The next step is your thoughts have power. You'll find it after a while, as soon as you say it, it'll start coming into being right away. Then it'll get so powerful, as soon as you think it, starts coming into being. I have to watch what I see. I have to watch what I see. If I see something, it starts coming right into being. I have to immediately null and void it or change it or do whatever I need to do with it right away. I can't let it slide one little bit in my imaging power. Because when I hold a perfect image for somebody to be instantly healed, they're instantly healed. I can't have any variations in that vision. I keep it pure for my work, you see. And so it has to be clear. You get to the point where that happens. Then you get to the point of things will be. They'll just be. And you'll go through the world in this beingness. So it starts out with getting word power. That's the thing. Don't let it come out here unless you want it to last forever. Don't let it come out here unless... You know what I did? I stopped talking for months. Because I realized what I was creating with my words. Because when you speak words consciously, they have greater power. Unconscious words are unconscious. But words that are conscious have power. When you are speaking. Now, in your communications with God, the Masters, the Angelic Kingdom, the higher forces, there is several different ways of communication. The lowest way of communication is called the prayer. That's the lowest way of communication. That's praying for substance or supposition or fulfillment or something you're asking for, something like this. And there's nothing, you're just asking. You don't usually get an answer back. You just know God, you get on faith, He's listening. And He's listening, His presence is right here all the time. He's always with you. He even hears you snoring. He's always there. And so God's presence when you're praying is right there. So if you're praying with words outside, then God is outside of you. If your words are going inward, then God is within you. So which way are you praying? And if you want to pray effectively, pray outwardly and inwardly at the same time. Don't be praying outside saying, "Dear God, I want this car," and your mind is saying, "You really don't need that kind of car. Why don't you get another kind of car instead of that one?" And your words are saying, "I definitely want this kind of car." And your mind is saying, "Well, I got a choice of several." See? The mind has to say, "Yes, I want this kind of car." And your voice is saying, "I want this kind of car, please." Or this kind of position, this kind of relationship, this amount of funds. Very specifically say you want this particular amount, whatever it is. Just ask for it. Ask and you shall receive. Ask and you shall receive. That's the promise. The call compels the answer. That's the promise. The call compels the answer. So if you're praying, pray and believe in the presence. When you're praying, you pray right now. You're accepting it right now. Inwardly, outwardly. So you have the full spectrum of your being. You're the one that is praying inward and outwardly. You're the one that is praying inward and outwardly. Do you get that? You're not the prayer, you're the one that's doing it. You see? You're not the inward, you're not the outward. You're the one that's beyond those two. That's your transcendent being. You're the one that's beyond that outer world here and the inner world. You're the one that's witnessing and experiencing those two. Start looking at that point of consciousness instead of thinking you're the in one here talking to the out one, or you're the out here trying to get in. So you're beyond the two. You're the one that has no duality, that is indivisible. Individual means indivisible. It's right in the word. Indivisible, individual. And we slur our words and everything, you know. I remember in our family, we said, extraordinary. And I was trying to figure out what extraordinary was for years. I just knew it was something special. And then I saw the word extraordinary. You see, extraordinary. I understood what it meant. It meant extraordinary, not extraordinary. How he took the word and slurred it, you see, by use. And lost the power behind it. Like responsibility, meaning the ability to respond. So you have the free ability right there to be able to respond. Responsibility. And if people got something going emotionally or mentally, they can't respond right at that moment. Then they don't have responsibility. See? Say, you're not responsible. Because you can't control your mind, you can't control your emotions, you're not responsible. So you don't have the ability to respond. So look at the words. What do the words really mean? Are you saying words that don't have meaning behind them? You see? But if you're saying a prayer that doesn't have any feeling, doesn't have any meaning behind it, if you're saying a prayer that has no feeling or no meaning behind it, you're not going to have an answer. It's going to be as empty as your words. Do you stand up there, our Father, our name, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Do you believe it? Or are you saying because somebody taught you to vocalize those sounds? Is there a meaning behind that? Do you really see our Father which art in heaven? Do you really believe there's a heaven, a field of consciousness, of light, where there's a Father aspect of consciousness, the Father? Your Father in heaven, your heavenly Father? Do you really believe that when you're saying, when you're making the prayer, if there's not belief in it, if there's not understanding in it, if there's not energy in it, one thing I learned from the Hawaiians and the ancient cultures is they put everybody into the action. Their body was moving, their emotions were moving, their mind was moving, all together in the prayer. They weren't saying, I wish it'd come to rain, I hope it might rain, it's raining, let's see. They were seeing it, they were seeing it happen right that moment. They were the prayer, physically, emotionally, mentally. So what do? We have to put our body in a prayerful position, you see, if you're going to make a prayer. What, you walk around with everything else and just throw it in with everything else you're doing? Okay, oh God, you know, I need this one. Oh God, I need. And you're saying, I wonder why my prayers aren't answered. Because you don't have all your energies into it. Are you insulting that? See? A physical, emotional, a mental, a soulful, a creative, an individual movement in consciousness? Are you all together in your prayer? See, you have to put all your bodies of consciousness into the prayer. When you're praying. You have to put all your mind into it, all your emotions into it. Speak with emotion. Speak with emotions. Don't speak without emotions. Don't those kind of people get on your nerves? Don't have any emotional response at all. It's always the same thing. Computer-like. You know, there's no feeling. Put feeling into it. See? Saying empty words will not, your prayers will not be answered. By putting all that energy in, where does it come back? returns to the source, returns to the sender. Prayer returns to the sender. You curse somebody, you cursed yourself, returns to the sender. You're the first recipient. So you should bless. Bless. Blessings of life. Blessings of life. Unconditioned energy. Life. So prayers are the lowest, but you must put everything into them. Now decrees are more powerful than prayers. Decree a thing and it shall be established unto you, it says in the last book of the Old Testament. Decree a thing and it shall be established unto you. Are you making decrees in consciousness? I am the light and the way and the life. You mean those kind of decrees? So you decree a thing and it shall be established unto you. A decree usually has like a preamble, a middle, and an end to it. A decree has a beginning, an address, a middle, an end. Decrees have a beginning, a middle, and an end. They have an address to the power, asking, decreeing what they, and then thanking. See? They end in a thanks. So they end in a praise or a thanks or an acceptance. Are you decreeing a thing in that way? Are you decreeing your powers in that way? Is your affirmation, the things you're affirming, are they done in prayer? Are they done in decree? Now, theos is the same as decree, but shorter. I am light is a theos. It's I am that, whatever that is. That's the decree. I am, meaning present, that. In the presence, whatever that is that you're saying. It's a short one, and it's a very quick statement. And if you look through the Bible, Christ made decrees, he made prayers, he made fiats. You know, I am the way. I'm the doorway that no man can close. Prayer, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we said this is what's going to happen. From the inner, higher worlds, heavenly fields of consciousness, through you, here in this earth, on this earth, this is the way it's going to be. Listen. Give us this day. Didn't say, would you please look around and see if there's any extra food up there and throw it down to us? No, give us this day our daily bread. See? And say, please try to give us some bread once in a while. Throw us a few crumbs off your table. Are you praying in that manner of belief? Same. Maybe the degree, maybe the degree. Now, a mantra is an intoning of a series of words, a series of tones. And it's something that you do over and over and over again. This becomes more power because of the repetition. And the mantra draws to the one sounding the mantra the energy of what they are saying in the mantra. Adi Christus, Adi Christus, 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 Adi Adi. 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 Starts drawing the light right on to the nervous system, right on to my mind, right on to Ram. Watch this again. I'll do this against the wall so you can see. Just watch my head right here, and then watch this as it, the light builds on. Om Hari Christus Hari Christus 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 Hari 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 Christus Hari Christus 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 Hari 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 Christus Hari Christus 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 Hari 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 Christus Hari Christus 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 Hari Hari. You know, when I move, you see that golden energy there? You see that light? Okay, I'm attracting light. I believe it. I believe it. And so as I'm doing the mantra, Christ comes upon my mind, I feel him ringing through me. I feel an uplifting. I feel the light. I'm aware of the light. So by doing the mantra, you are calling on that power. That's the power you're calling on by the repetition of it. You're running that consciousness over your nervous system, and it radiates into your auric field. And so that's what mantras, the power of mantras is. The Catholic Church knows that. They have mantras. Omni Domine, Omni Domine. The energies of God, the personality of God manifesting. And they're doing it in consciousness. They're not saying empty words. You see, the Buddhists, all the churches that have great power in the world use the chants, the mantras, those kinds of things, the prayers, the decrees, the fiats. They use all phases of communication with God. Now, the chant is a series of words that is done in a rhythmic tone that has variation or in two or more tones. The mantra is intoning words, and you can go, Om Namah Shivaya. Now you've got a series of tones going in the mantra, but in the chant, it's Christus, that's keeping it in a steady tone. And just a little variation off the tone for keeping one steady tone. See, this one goes up and down with its energies. This one has a more direct, constant vibration. So the chant is more constant. And so the energies will be more constant. In the mantra, it has a variation, so that it can flow. But in the chant, it's very directed energy. And so when you're chanting, it's different than sounding just the mantra. It's, Om Namah Shivaya. 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 From the repetition, you just go out into the fields. You start expanding the fields. You feel what that did to your body? They have an effect upon the nervous system. And so when you're chanting, that's very high communication. So repetition, repetition. Now the call is the most powerful, and it's used for emergency. And the call is like calling somebody to distance. You see, when you say, God be present. It's a different thing than saying, God be present. You can feel it on your nervous system when you say that. See the difference? When you're making the call, Archangel Michael, take command. You're saying it loud, at like at a distance. Like you're making a call at the distance. And the same in your mind. You're calling in your mind. You're calling at a distance to bring it present. So the call is used for quick energy to come quickly. To be here present quickly. Take a man quickly. Oh God, help me. Christ, take a man. Archangel Michael. Calling them into being. Right now, you're calling them. Saint Germain, blaze the violet fire now. Make the call. The situation, whatever it is, immediate. Make the call. See, the call is loud and it's at a distance. So those are the different types of communication. In all of them, you want to put all of your bodies of consciousness into action. That's why we told you when you get up in the morning, go around and watch every move you make. Okay, some of you went a little bit. Most of you didn't do it. Look at your orders and tell me something. Anyway. This is why we give you these exercises. As I said in the first class, don't be fooled by the simplicity of the exercise I'm giving you. Because if you want gifts and powers in your life, you must initiate the opening. You must open the door. You must say, okay. Nothing happens without your okay on it. Your acceptance. And if you don't do the exercises, you're not accepting the way to give those powers. This is a system. It's a very simple system. It's not some strange, weird thing. I'm being very open with you. I'm not holding back any secrets. I'm taking them as a mystic. We seek to unveil the mystery, not to confound your minds, but to clear the mind, to open you to your self-mastery, self-control, to your individual government. If this world is ever going to survive, everyone must have their own individual government. Not some die-off that we see on television once in a while, not some dictator that sends the troops to kill you if you don't listen to them. You see, not these kind of people to run you, but the God self within you, the best self within you, running your life, self-governed, self-controlled, physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. That's when humanity will be free, when they are totally free within themselves. So you are working on something that is not ordinary. It's extraordinary. The kind of powers you are calling for are not ordinary powers. Everybody isn't using these powers. Everyone is not using these powers, so they are extraordinary. In themselves, they're very simple. They're not, they're just normal powers for that experience. You see, but we aren't using them in the common field of consciousness, so then they're extraordinary, they're different. But they work for anyone that attunes and lets that channel come through. So the powers you are asking for, when we say extraordinary powers or supernatural powers, are different than what the people take as natural or take as the ordinary, you see. For someone to go around and read people's orders, that's extraordinary, because everybody doesn't do it. Consciously, that is. A lot of people do that unconsciously. They can't really figure out where an individual is real quick. So, work with your science of the spoken word to purify it, to purify it. For the things that you want to draw more stronger into your consciousness, use the higher mantra, the chant, to bring them into being. The things you're asking for supplement in this, you give your prayer. But get your whole self into it. If you have to get on your knees and put your physical position, do that. If you have to just bow your head and hold your hands together, or stand there very quietly, take some kind of posture when you pray. Put your body into that posture so the subconscious mind knows there's a prayer going on. And then everything will come out of the subconscious mind to support the action. That's what asanas are about. They call on certain types of energies to run through the body. You see, meaning physical postures and positions. Asanas. You see, mudras, hand movements to bring in certain powers. This is Kuan Yin's power of holding fear. She takes fear, and you look up there and say, well, there's nothing in there. Right, she's holding fear. There's nothing to it. You see, there's nothing to it. Because when you look at it on masking, there's nothing to it. See, when truth is seen, there is no fear. You see, you may fear the gorilla coming around the corner and getting you, or the lion, or the tiger, or the bear, or the snake. But if you see them, the fear disappears to your action. Getting out of there. You see, because the truth is seen. That you can go around feeling this, oh, I don't know. Gee, let me look under this bed. Let me look in that closet. You see? I remember a time going home, and even the doors are locked, that rings. All the lights are on. Oh, I forgot to leave a light on. I go in. I say, anybody in here? Pound on the door or something. And I go in and hear anything. Then something go creak. You know, I go check out. Go look under the beds, go look in the closets. I was about 13 or 14. They just always send somebody in the house first. One of the kids. Well, I'll sacrifice one of them. For one of the kids. But anyway, I'm just kidding. But in the science of the spoken word, be very exact in your prayers, be very exact. Is there any questions on any of this that we discussed tonight? These are just the first three classes that clear the field, so now we can start doing the serious work. So if you haven't done your homework, do it. You're only having problems when you go to, when we say to do a certain thing when you're in a particular state of meditation. And say, okay, at this particular point now you have to do this, and if you haven't obtained it, and you try to work for it, try to push it, that don't happen because see, it's like grabbing a bar of soap and keep popping out of your hand. So you have to let things happen as a master. Yes, sir.
I'm half asleep, but I missed the thing on concentration. I don't know where I wrote it down.
In order to gain control over that emotional right there, you said about the concentration.
Yeah, concentration controls emotional energy. It keeps the emotions from exaggerating. By concentrating, it keeps from scattering desire. That's what I said. It keeps from scattering desire. It brings you to one-pointedness. And when you can get your concentration, it also eliminates the irrelevance. See? Concentration means you eliminate those things that your mind are on that aren't pertinent to what you're doing, that aren't important to you, that don't mean anything. So you eliminate the irrelevance. What you're doing. See, if you have a goal, you put your emotions into your goal. If you're singing, you put your emotions in that. If you're writing or whatever you're doing, if you're praying, you're drawing, you're doing your work, you're feeling into your work. If your feeling isn't your work, you shouldn't even be there. Because you're not all there. If you don't enjoy what you're doing, don't do it. See, your life is too short on this earth to waste it away in things that you don't want to do. Don't do it. I remember my grandmother told me that between the ages of 15 and 21, I had 60 jobs. I did. But why did I quit? I knew I could always get another one. Everybody say, gee, I'm having such a hard time getting a job. I says, if you really want to work, you'll find a job. And I always found a job. I never had any problem. I go places, gee, they hire me right away. Other people be out for days and weeks and months, and I can't find nothing. If you really want a job, you hold the mind of getting a job, you'll get it. And I knew the power, so I just used it. That wasn't a very good use of it. I suffered under that kind of use. See, because I had lost capability in those years. I was scattered. I now started getting scattered. Because I was cutting things off too quick. I didn't give any chance. I didn't like it. Oh, I don't like this. It makes me feel quick. I don't like the way they look. I'll quit. I don't like that. Oh, they got icky over there. Ooh. I'll do that one. See. Oh, this is a nice one. Oh, but I don't like to have to do this. I quit, you see. And I finally realized that wasn't it. But I use that power. Because my grandmother says, don't ruin your life by doing things you don't want to do. And what I was doing, I kept doing what I didn't want to do over and over again and had to keep quitting. Because I was contrary, I was willful. See, I was pushing. And I used the powers for my own self, which was negative use of the powers. So now I have to spend the rest of my life helping everybody else, being good.
Yes. Yeah, I was wondering if sound can be found through doing something career-wise, like logically. I'm a scientist type person, and I enjoy observing and doing calculations of it. My outside interest is this, and I thought that was good for putting that out here.
What you do, remember, it's a personality and it will pass. You see, just remember all that reason, logic, all that's going to pass. So it's okay to use it under the right understanding. Understand what you're doing, that all those things will pass. Everything that science has come up, they change it. Sooner or later, they change it. You know that. Span, something else, E5, another thing, you know. He said we had the smallest element, and then someone else comes up with another one, you see. With a scientist in 1973 or 74, right in there, he was a Russian scientist, and he was getting a Nobel Prize for finding the smallest particle of matter. And they said, well, how did you do this? And he says, I didn't even know it existed before I started looking for it. Did it exist before he started looking for it? Some will say no, some will say yes. God created everything and it's already there. We're just opening and realizing it. Or are we creators? What are you doing? What do you believe?
What you believe is what you get. See? You can believe fantasies and you'll go through them. You can believe realities and you'll go through them. You see? So your belief draws things to you. So when you're doing those things, you realize you're doing that, and when you get done doing that, stop doing that and do whatever else you do. But if that becomes the dominating thing of your life, stop it. Don't let anything dominate your life. Don't let anything take you over. Always keep your freedom to be. See, to move. To do whatever is necessary. The master learns to do whatever is necessary. See, Paul said, some you have to hold over the fire, some you have to teach them in love. And you know what the early church did? They took that literally. So they, if someone didn't agree, then they put a little iron club on them and held it over the fire and burnt their hands. But I hold you over the fire by pushing your buttons, by putting out here the truth. That will be a fire. If you have non-truth, there will be a friction. See, fire is caused by friction. And so if there's a fire going on, it's because of the friction. That's why the thinking mind is called the fire. See, air comes at the soul. See, earth, water, fire. Because, see, things, thoughts move, push against each other. It causes fire, just like fire. So if you know how fire works, you know how your thinking mind works. Well, I wondered why they had me get control over my thinking when I was to make fire. I didn't know why they would have me do those things. And I realized after the Kahuna taught me that I had to control my mind, because I could cause the fire, set myself afire. If I feared I was going to get burnt, I would have gotten burnt as soon as I asbestos fires. So I have to control my fears, my doubts, my all these kind of things that have that hazard, you see. Other questions? Okay, let's take a little break and then we'll come back and we're going to go through the areas of mind. We're back. These are the levels of mind. The first level of mind is called instinctive mind. And this is our primal mind, so to speak. The second level of mind is called the subconscious mind. You have instinctive mind, then the subconscious mind. And the subconscious mind is just like a computer. It records everything. Your instinctive mind is all the instincts, the human instincts, and that you come in for survival. And it deals with survival. The second one deals with the experiences, what your senses have been on, what you've been aware of. Whether it's been imagined or real, it goes into the subconscious mind. So fantasy goes in there as well as reality. So you need to do things like ask for your mind to be dehypnotized. When you're going into meditation, say, dehypnotize my mind. The reason hypnosis is fixation, concentration, and suggestion. Hypnosis is fixation, concentration, and suggestion. And if you just keep active when you're going in, you're just hypnotizing yourself. See, hypnotism is active, meditation is passive, and they're exactly the same areas of consciousness. But one is done actively, the other is done passively. In the Western mind, a lot of people work with hypnosis rather than with meditation. But I had a man, his name was Michael, I'm not going to give you his last name, but he was a hypnotist. And he spent several months in his room saying, I am God, I am God. And believing he was God. And he realized he was God. But he thought he was the only one. He thought everybody should worship him. Because he was God. That's what happens when the personality gets a hold of it. So he changed his name from Michael to My God. So when he walked up to him, he had to say, My God. So don't hypnotize yourself. Don't hypnotize yourself into it. That isn't truth. It's not reality. It'll break away. The personality will get hold of it. It's the objective mind will play God. The third level of mind is called the sub of the subconscious mind. It takes all these experiences of the senses and imagined and experiences of your body, emotions, and all of this, and it can analyze, it can make things out of it, it can correlate, it can calculate, it does reason and logic, it thinks and does that. That's the sub of the subconscious mind. Then in the heart center, it's known as the environmental mind.
what kind of environment your body's in, what kind of environment your emotions, your mind, your soul, and your creativeness is in. It's environmental consciousness. It's all experiences. What you know that's around that body, your knowledge of it, the way it works, the understanding of it, environmental mind. The next level of mind is called higher abstract mind. This deals with symbols, colors, shapes, forms, ideas. You see, that kind of consciousness, ideals. Deals with concepts. See, that's that part of mind. Then you have the superconscious mind. This is perception, direct perception, awareness, consciousness, superconscious, total awareness. This is the eye of the dream. The eye is all-seeing eye, sees all the time. The mind never sleeps. The mind never sleeps. In martial arts, we learn the mind never sleeps. And it's really something. If you're laying there, and the master comes in and hits you with a stick across your stomach or across your chest or across some other part.